Blog Talk Radio.
The motherfucking saga continues.
Yo, yo, what's up, world? It's Badass Thuggin' like I usually do. And you better turn it up, bust some speakers out, cause we off the motherfucking cup. You dig how we do it? Dog Pound Gangsters 2000 and beyond. Blech.
What's up with it, y'all? Man, don't change that sound. This your player partner, the legendary Cocaine. And you tuned in live to Off the Cuff Radio. Better not touch that down. Wiggly.
Yeah, yeah, this is Cassidy, the hustler. And right now, you listening to the Guillotine. Show them the respect they deserve, man. Off the Cut Radio, man. Y'all already know how they doing it, man. I need y'all to stay tuned. They've been doing it for years. So show them the respect they deserve. And you heard it out of bars, mom. Easy.
Keep it moving like this. Yo, this your boy Rampage. You're not rocking with the best. With Off the Cut Radio. Classic. History. Fix your face to all you haters. We off the cuff, baby.
What's up, everybody? This your girl, Bonnie Dollars, the queen of trap, representing Crenshaw, and you are now tuned in with Off the Cuff Radio. What's up?
What's up, y'all? This is Miss Irresistible, giving a shout-out to the live show on Friday nights, Off the Cuff Radio, and I'm live from the 704. Make sure y'all tune in for the blazing hot music.
Hey, what it ain't, what it do. Chilly Chill from that original Lynch Mob. Off the Cuff Radio, always where it's at on Friday nights. West West, y'all.
No other in this lifetime. White House killer, dead in lifelines. Vote this joke out or die trying. Unprecedented, demented, mini presidented. Nazi Gestapo, dictator defended. It's not what you think, it's what you follow. Run for them jewels, drink from that bottle. Another 4 years gonna gut your hollow. Gun it out, dried up, broken, can't borrow.
State of the Union, shut the fuck up. Sorry ass motherfucker, stay away from me. Shut the fuck up, sorry ass motherfucker, stay away from me. State of the Union, shut the fuck up, sorry ass motherfucker, stay away from me. State of the Union, shut the fuck up, sorry ass motherfucker, stay away from me.
Mister, I am the law, and you are not. In fact, I'm God, I got a lot. Mister, these United Breaks take over, come over. Orange hair, fear the comb over. Here's another scare, keep them hands in the air. Better not breathe, you dare not dare. Don't say nothing, don't think nothing. Make America great again, the middle just love it. When he wanna talk, walk y'all straight to them ovens. Human beings of color, yeah, we be suffering.
State of the Union, shut the fuck up. Sorry ass motherfucker, stay away from me. State of the Union, shut the fuck up. Sorry ass motherfucker, stay away from me. State of the Union, shut the fuck up. Sorry ass motherfucker, stay away from me. State of the Union, shut the fuck up. Motherfucker, stay away from me.
Not some USFL, not a fucking game. I did, I mentioned his name. Operation 45, yeah, it's the same thing. Sounds like Berlin burning, same thing. History's a mystery, if y'all ain't learning. In this clown show, for real estate bozo. Nazi cult 45, Gestapo.
State of the Union, shut the fuck up. Sorry ass motherfucker, stay away from me. State of the Union, shut the fuck up. Sorry ass motherfucker, stay away from me. State of the Union, shut the fuck up. Motherfucker, stay away from me. State of the Union, shut the fuck up. Sorry ass motherfucker, stay away from me. State of the Union, shut the fuck up. Sorry ass motherfucker, stay away from me. State of the Union, shut the fuck up. Sorry ass motherfucker, stay away from me.
the building. Episode 526 underway. I'm your host, King Eric, the Media Assassin, and you're now tuned in to Off the Cuff Radio, sponsored by Da Vinci Clothing, Buddy Boy Entertainment, Fleetwood and the Cot Pickers, Jesse's Boutique and Core Financial. Got my host, T-Max, on the line. What's good, man?
What to do? What to do? Another Super Sunday. OTC up in the building. Shout out to our co-hosts, a lot of San Jose Chinchilla, and we are live and direct on the freshest frequency of the internet airways, keeping you interested. What to do? What to do?
Now let me tell y'all. Let me tell you this, man. This is a really important, deep show we want to tackle in tonight. And I played that first record for a reason, to show that we look out for our legends. Damn it, that record there was Public Enemy. Shut the F Up, produced by DJ Premier off their last album. So they can't sit there and say, oh, we don't look out for the legends. And that record came out last year.
It's, I mean, look, King, I mean, it's definitely one thing about hip-hop is hip-hop has always been a voice of the streets in terms of being a social and political commentary upon the plight of not only people of color, but society in general that across the board can affect all of us no matter where we come from. One thing about it, good hip-hop never has an expiration date, and the message is always loud and clear in terms of what it's trying to deliver.
Yes, indeed, man. And, you know, that's I picked that song because it sets off the tone of what we're going to talk about tonight. And the question is, for anybody that's listening, is hip-hop under attack? Call number is 516-531-9596. We got Pittsburgh Pat on the line. Get a shout out to him because he gave me the idea to do this topic.
Oh, yep. Yeah, actually, guys, I got some breaking news, man. I got some unfortunate breaking news, man. I got a phone call about 45 minutes ago from NC Shan letting me know that Tame One passed away.
Tame One, yeah, from Artifact.
Yeah, it's like about an hour. Like, we got news about an hour ago, man. I haven't been online really the past 2 hours or nothing. So I don't know how widely known that is as of right now, man. But Jesus Christ, man, like, it isn't even, like, I'm not, like, over-exaggerating for the show, man. Like, dude, there's seriously so many artists that are dead. And, like, not even, like, I mean, you know, we grew up on him. I'm 36 years old, man. So, you know, when Tupac in 1996 was 25, I was 10. So, like, I understand that when I'm 36, the rappers that I knew back then are going to be 50, 60 years old. And so it's not that shocking when some, like, not to say it didn't affect me, but I'm saying when Biz Markie passed away, yeah, he died young, you know what I mean? But it wasn't, like, shocking. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, he was an older gentleman, you know what I mean? He wasn't old, but, you know, he was getting up there a little bit. But there is so many guys that aren't here now that, like, I've even missed some. Like, I interviewed Blackistan before and had, like, a very good interview with him, and, like, I really like doing music and shit. And one day, like, I'm just, like, talking to somebody or listening to a podcast or something, and they just, like, said his name, and they're like, yeah, man, like, gone too soon. I was like, wait, what? And I looked it up, and he died. It missed my radar. Like, that's how often people were dying, man. Like, and it's murders, it's health problems, it's drugs, it's, you can't, like, I mean, I guess it speaks to a wider problem, which is, like, this is why I had this idea. I mean, I didn't know the Tame. I don't know how Tame One passed away, but
I didn't find out to Rod Digger posted on her page.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. I haven't been online, so I didn't know. You know what I mean? But that just goes to show you, man. And, like, just by chance, like, I hit you up the other day, Eric, and said, like, look, man, I gotta get some of this shit off my chest, bro. Like, because we all are very opinionated, and we can have different opinions and not get mad at each other and shit. Like, you know, we're grown-ups, and you can't really do that online because you can't really tell people's tones and shit, and everybody thinks you're being a dick, you know what I mean? But,
right.
You know, just by chance, dude, like, today Facebook had, like, my memories, and, like, 3 or 4 years ago, I posted, like, I don't remember what the incident was because I had two posts. One of the posts, I was on some Gilly the Kid shit, like, yo, why the fuck are you got, like, who the fuck stands there and records a fucking dead body, like, and, like, why the fuck are you guys trying to find that video? Like, I don't remember what happened. I don't know what I was talking about. I mean, that's crazy that so many things have happened since then that I don't remember what incident that was. And then, like, I posted right after that, like, look, man, like, people think, like, your diet is what you eat. Like, nah, man. Like, bro, it's what you watch. It's the people you have around you. It's the music you listen to. It's the movies you watch, the videos you watch. It's the conversations you have, the environment. It's literally fucking everything is your diet. It's not a food thing. Like, it's everything. Like, somebody that watches, you know, dead body fucking videos all the time, they're not even fazed by seeing Offset later. Bro, I still haven't seen that video. I refuse to watch it, dude. I'm not watching that shit. And, like, I'm not even... The Migos are past my time, man. Like, I don't really have an opinion on them. Like, they're younger guys, man. Like, they're not making music for 36-year-olds, dude. They're, you know what I'm saying? Like, I shouldn't be relating to their music, you know what I mean? But, like, I'm not a hater, bro. Like, I understand the times have changed, man. And, like, I just look at things like, who the fuck am I to say what real hip-hop is? Because everybody will, you know, we will all agree that Nas is hip-hop, right? When's the last time Nas was breakdancing and doing graffiti and all that shit? Like, we came a long way from them fucking Five Elements bullshit, all right? Like, it's not 1978 anymore. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and people will try to use that and say, bro, none of these rappers were doing that, man. Soldier Slim wasn't doing that. You know what I mean? Like, Pimp C wasn't doing that. Like, nobody was, like, doing the Five Elements shit. So it's like, you know, and it's like, who am I to, like, what is the definition of hip-hop, dude? You know what I'm saying? Like, why is my, what my perception of what hip-hop is, why does that trump your opinion? You know what I mean? So, like, who the fuck are we to tell these fucking kids that the music they like is not hip, that it's not hip-hop? Like, who the fuck are we? They, like, did we take some fucking class to get some certification that gave us the law, like, you know, the law of the land, and we get to define shit? Fuck no, dude. Hip-hop is whatever. You if we're going to box it in, dude, it's not hip-hop. It's not what it's supposed to be. You know what I'm saying? Like, so you have to take the good with the bad. You know what I'm saying? Like, the 2 Live Crew, when they were fighting the government and shit, they understood that you didn't have to like their music. And, like, let's be honest. We might like 2 Live Crew as an act and think they're funny and shit, and they were cool and shit. Nobody, like, went home and relaxed and threw on a 2 Live Crew record. It was fun party music. It was kind of funny and shit. You know what I mean? But, like, we understood that with their victory, that meant, like, okay, like, that's huge, like, for the freedom of what you're allowed to talk about and stuff. So when we start to say, like, oh, these guys aren't lyrical and, oh, they don't do this and they don't do that, like, bro, that's disrespectful to the rappers that fought the government and fought, like, bro, Eminem. Like, Eminem fought, he was in a time when media was getting heavier, you know what I mean, and protests every time he went somewhere and all that. And, like, I mean, even, like, Marilyn Manson has something to do with it because, you know, he's not hip-hop, of course, but, I mean, with the Columbine thing, they, like, tried to blame him for it and shit, and it's like, bro, these artists, like, fought for freedom for these dudes. You don't have to like their music, but, like, bro, this is what they fought for. So, like, if we want you know, if we want the hip-hop that we like to be able to be, you know, to, like, if we want, you know, NWA-style music to be allowed, then we have to accept it all. You have to take the good with the bad. And these fucking people, I don't know, man, I don't want to get off on a million different topics at once.
Nah, man, what it is, though, you know, is at the end of the day, all types of music is out. It's just people are too lazy.
Yeah, and like, look, like, don't take what I'm about to say the wrong way, but I genuinely believe that there is more good hip-hop music than ever before right now. You know what I mean? I'm not saying that the music's better or anything like that. I'm saying most, like, majority of the people that we listened to in the 90s are still making music, and then you figure
right.
you add on all the new guys that are making music. Maybe the music isn't as good in our opinions and stuff, but, you know, but there's so much of a variety out there, man, that, like, the minute we got that number one genre in the world, look how the fuck we acted, man. Look what the fuck we're doing. It's fucking crazy, dude. We for real have people that are okay and even sticking up for the New York governor or whatever the fuck he is, mayor or governor, whatever the fuck he is, saying they should ban drill music. Like, what the fuck?
This,
like,
and you know what's
well,
wild?
This
you know what's wild,
on.
Guys? Check this. This is what's wild to me. And I want anybody to answer this question to call in. If you're going to take away hip-hop, you would take away drill music, you take away all those genres, what are we going to replace it with to give the youngest an outlet?
Look. All these people saying, like, I've seen, like, this one website, like, you know, there's how there's a million hip-hop pages and shit. One on Instagram posting something like, if you're making music about killing each other and doing drugs and blah, 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 like, we will no longer post your material and blah, 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 you know what I mean? And I responded to that. I was like, we're not against rap. We're not against rappers, but we are against those stuff. Cause that's what you sound like, bro. And, like, it's just so crazy to me that they don't see that part of it. And it's like, what hip-hop did they grow up on? Because, dude, I seem to remember in the fucking 90s we had a popular song called Sippin' on Some Syrup. What the fuck do you think
right.
mine is? It's syrup. You know, fucking Soldier Slim and Birdman had songs about snorting heroin. Fucking Raekwon said he was smoking crack and weed.
Yo,
the combination made his eyes bleed.
Hey, hold on. It was some breaking news here. I don't know what's going on here, man, but I'm reading that Hurricane G passed away.
Hurricane
what?
Who?
Hurricane
G, the rapper. Yeah. Oh, that's Redman.
Dude, what the fuck?
Oh, shit.
Dude, what's going on?
Hell.
Like, what the fuck is happening?
Oh, man. Fools. I mean, but dog, they say this happens in threes. We've lost Takeoff, Hurricane G, and Tame One in a week. I mean.
And dude, we just lost Coolio.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Ooh.
That's
man.
Crazy,
and,
bro.
And Nick Carter.
Nick Carter passed yesterday. I mean.
No, Aaron Carter. It was
Aaron Carter. That's right.
Yeah,
Aaron
not the brother. Not the Backstreet Boy, his little brother.
Yeah, his little brother.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and jump.
Hurricane G, she's the one that had, didn't she have, she had a collab album probably back in like 2014, 2013, something like that with Thurston Howe?
Is that
who I'm thinking of?
She was on
let me
Spanish Harlem joint with Smith and Wesson.
Yeah. She's from Brownsville. I know that. Like, that's who I'm thinking of. She's like a heavier set girlfriend. She's like Puerto Rican, I think. And she's from Brownsville.
Redman's sister. I know they said that was Redman's sister, but I got to check for sure. But I heard somebody say that was his sister. It very well could be. Could not be. But yeah, I mean, she had a joint back in the day where she had that song. Where she was rapping on that, you gonna make me love somebody else if you keep on treating me the way you do.
Okay, look,
yeah.
I got her shit right here. Oh my god, she has a daughter with Eric Sermon. She did pass away. She's born in Brooklyn, New York. She was the Hit Squad's first female member. Made guest appearances on albums with Keith Murray, Redman, Exhibit, Delinquent Havoc, Coco Brothers, and she was on Puff Daddy's PE2000 track. And, yep, in 2013, she had an album called Mommy and Poppy with Thurston Howard III. And her debut album was All Woman in 1997. And I actually remember the song. I don't know much about that album. I didn't have it. But I know for a fact, without even looking up, that Dos FX is on that album. I know that. Like, that's how I remember her name. You know what I mean? Is because she did a song with Dos FX. My little cousin was a big fan of them and A Tribe Called Quest. And no big surprise, he's walking around holding hands with boys nowadays because he grew up listening to that sissy bullshit. But I'm just playing. But no, but that's how I know. That's how I remembered who she was, though, because Dos FX was on her album, her debut album and shit. But that's crazy, man. Like, you see what I'm saying, though, bro? Like, another thing, like, bro, Fred the Godson passed away. And, like, if Fred the Godson was in any other era, he would be top five of all time. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
He's a 90s MC. He got big in the wrong era because that dude is fucking incredible. But like, bro, you guys know how I'm real into New York and New Orleans and shit, right? I was having a conversation the other day, bro, without more than a 2 second pause, I named 37 dead rappers from New Orleans. Just New Orleans, not counting Baton Rouge. Just New Orleans. And like, after the conversation was over, I realized that I forgot like about like Cash Money Vamp died. I forgot to mention Young Greatness. You know what I mean? Like, and those are guys that like I know very well. You know what I'm saying? But like New Orleans has 30. I mean that's just off the top of my fucking head, bro. That's not sitting down with a pen and paper and looking things up. That's just off memory. 30, I counted that many. I mean, bro, you gotta say, if you just go by, like, this is a good one. Somebody said this to me the other day. Can you name a hip hop group or like collective, like, you know, like the Dungeon Family, like, you know what I mean by that? That doesn't have a deceased member. It's very hard to do. You know what I mean? Like trying to think of somebody in like a hip hop group or like collective that isn't missing a member. You know what I mean? At least one, you know? And it's fucking, it's insane, man. And like nowadays I don't know if it's because like the news just hits us so fast now, and we just absorb things so much differently than back in the day. But the news comes and goes so fast that I remember like finding out just like a month after somebody died because it was in like the source or something. You know what I mean? Because like, if they weren't like a well-known MC, like MTV didn't report it, you know what I mean? But like nowadays, man, like everything happens so quick, dude, that like you might miss some things, you know what I'm saying? And like, you know, we take pride in our hip hop knowledge and shit, man. And like the fact that somebody passed away and I, like Blackistan died and I didn't hear about it until months after. Or if maybe I forgot about hearing it, because other crazy shit happens, you know what I mean? But yeah, man, like, so, look, like, I do have mixed feelings about this thing. Like, I understand, like, people, what people mean. Like, it's fucked up that, like, there's a lot of people getting rich off of just blatant, like, disrespectful music and shit like that. And, like, when you get past, like, all right, like, Charleston White, like, if you get past, like, you know, he adds all the crazy disrespectful shit. Like, he adds all that stuff in for the shock value. Like, so you get to, but he brings up a lot of good points sometimes. Not all the time. No, I'm not sitting here saying I support Charles DeWitt or anything.
But bro,
he brings up a lot of shit that nobody wants to accept. Because if he says fuck King Von, and I like King Von, I really do. Like, if he says fuck King Von, everyone's like, oh, you motherfucker, blah, 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 you know. But, bro, like, everybody fucking laughed, and the whole hip-hop community was smoking tuka for how fucking long. And that meant that you're smoking a 15-year-old kid. He, in one of his songs, he says when he dies, he's going to find Tuka and beat him up. Like,
Tuka was whatchamacallit. Yeah. But one thing about it too, Pat, when you think about that whole situation of what's going on in the game, we're looking at it from this generation, like what you said in hip-hop, this is one of the best ever because we're seeing artists who are not relying on a label to get the music out. Conversely speaking, what we are seeing now is a proliferation of a lot of music because they don't have to go through the label that they are directly putting out, and then it's getting capitalized on by people who may want to look at it as profitable down the line. Now, seeing we're speaking on the situation with King Von right now, King Von was a real Chicago dude, and ain't nobody going to say he wasn't. There's also the issues about he was really about that action. I can only say this on air because it has been widely speculated that Little Snoop, you know, from Tuka, you know, they think that, you know, him and her might have had a little altercation. I'm going to leave it there. You know, but you know, well, when she got killed, you know, there's speculation that there was something going on with that in terms of how that might have went down. But the music, in terms of where it is right now, it's an extension of, and I'm not saying this to down gangster rap, or as we call reality rap. I'm not saying it to down, but what we're seeing is it's on steroids now, because. Mm-hmm. There's not a balance anymore. There is no balance.
Yeah.
It's strictly now murder, 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 kill, 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 blast, 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 you know, pistol, 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 stick, 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 blast. And it's like, even the stuff we listened to back in the day, there was a balance. There was at least a message. Yeah, but some of these youngins now, it's like, what Mayor Eric Adams was saying in New York about trying to ban drill music, I don't agree with. I understand his sentiment, but you cannot legislate free speech. That is what the First Amendment guarantees us, whether we like it or not. And we all, you know, everybody has a right to speak their mind. Look at what we do on the show. But I understand what he's saying from his generation of understanding, because he was a cop. So he understands the street culture from a very, very intimate and real level about how violence gets into the youth's heads in terms of what they, like you said, Pat, what they are exposed to and what they are around all the time.
The music. And I mean, dude, like, especially in Chicago, man, like, those guys, like, but like that's what they grew up knowing, like, you know, and like it comes down to like that. You gotta realize that a lot of those guys, like the Chicago kids, like the drill rappers from Chicago that like started that, bro, they weren't doing it for hip hop. They didn't like they weren't like speaking on behalf of hip hop. That was what their culture was. Was they fucking killed you and dissed you and made fun of your friends on a song and put it out on the internet. And then eventually it fucking blew up. You know what I'm saying? And like, so you're asking people, you know, I mean, dude, like right now, Chief Keef is only 27 years old. That Love Sosa shit's been out for what? Like 10 years at least, right? So he was 16, 17. When that shit came out, and that was the explosion part of it. And so, like, you get into muddy waters there, bro, because it's who the fuck are we to tell these people that they should stop doing that? Like, you know, if somebody killed your brother, would you want me to tell you how to feel about it and tell you like, ah, bro, get over it, man. I know when they, you know, I know they made songs and shit, and now you want to kill them back and make your own song. So get over that shit, bro. Like, you don't want to hear that shit. You know what
and
I
it's
mean?
A different
like
culture.
It's a complicated issue, but we can't one day celebrate that Jay-Z and them, you know, got in the courts to not use lyrics against people in court and shit. We can't celebrate that one day and then the next day do this. Like, that's totally contradicting that. You know what I mean? And the Takeoff situation isn't even that thing. The Migos aren't. I mean, I'm sure they might have had some dust-ups with people or something like that, man, but, like...
But they're not gangster rappers. They never were, and they never claimed it.
Yeah, like, yeah, I mean, I've heard some things about them, and I know, it's like, Takeoff was in jail before and all that, but, you know, like, Little Dirk, you know, he just got his case thrown out, but, like, Dirk was hanging out with some killers. He was shooting, robbing people, shit, like, yeah, like, he was about it, and, you know, his music reflected that and everything. The Migos weren't in that type of situation, man, like... While we might have been upset that King Von had passed, it wasn't really shocking because we see that so much from people from his area.
And
one dude said something brilliant though, that we were talking about Nipsey and Eric Holder, and he said if that the roles were reversed, and Nipsey killed dude, we would be saying free Nipsey, or if Eric Holder was a better rapper than Nipsey, we wouldn't care as much. But because Nipsey Hussle had some songs, it hurt. And dude, it does hurt. Because when I hear somebody, I'm not even a diehard Nipsey fan or anything. I really wasn't. But I knew he was a good dude at heart. And whenever he died, man, that was one of the ones that fucked me up. And I wasn't even a fan. And I'll be honest, man. I'm kind of fucked up about the Offset thing. And, bro, you put a gun to my head, dude. I can't name you... three songs from the Migos. I don't listen to them, but bro, I love hip hop, bro. And I know they just released that album. It had something to do with Cuban Links or
only
Infinity
Built
Links
for
or
Infinity
something.
Link. Yeah, only.
Yeah,
only
and
built
they gave a shout out to Raekwon and shit, and like, and bro, he's a young dude. He had a career ahead of him, and all that. And like, dude, this fucked me up. It's senseless. It's fucking stupid, and I just hate it because now you got all these people coming out with all these saying all this crazy shit, man, and we all fucking know that, you know, Kanye's gonna tweet something tomorrow and everybody will be over it. You know what I mean? And it's like, you motherfuckers don't really fucking care. And every single time some shit happens, it's blame rap music. You guys all look like old white people in the early 90s. It's what you look like. That's how I feel, dude. I really feel like that.
Let's unpack a little bit of it. Because the fact is that with the situation with Takeoff, that and what you said earlier, Pat and King, really makes a lot of really resonates. Because when everybody's looking up the death videos and everything, my thing is we not everybody in the culture, but a lot of the culture has become fascinated with the whole street element to the point of they martyrize fallen artists, which is a very dangerous fascination and fixation. Mm-hmm. There is nothing cool about not living to a ripe old age with gray hairs and accumulated wisdom. What we're seeing now is we're living in a time where social media, people want clout by any means in terms of how they can get famous, whether they break a story, whether they share a story, whether they share a picture, or whatever. The Takeoff situation is so tragic because for a lot of the younger generation, that is their nostalgia. That is who they grew up listening to. Am I the biggest fan of the Migos? No. But I'll be the first to say that as a trio, those guys were incredible in terms of the energy that they had, in terms of how they could play off of each other, how they made music that just made you party and feel good. And at the core of it, that's what hip-hop is all about. It's about having a good time.
Imagine if you were 13 years old when Bad and Bougie came out. You know?
Yeah.
Cause like, I said that to somebody the other day because they were saying, oh, here we go, calling dude a legend again. And I'm like, bro, I kind of don't have a problem with that because...
No,
they
burned that spot. They burned legendary.
And, bro, they blew up and they stayed relevant, which is hard to do. You know, like I said,
absolutely,
they don't make music for me. It's not supposed to be for me. But, and I said that to them. I said, imagine if you were 13 years old and when Bad and Bougie came out, dude, and now here we are, you know, a handful of years later, that song was ridiculously big. I said, dude, you would be looking at those guys as legends in the game. I said, and he's like, yeah, they got their flow from Bruce's money. It's like, okay, dude, yeah, or whatever, that's fine. I said, but they still, like, that doesn't matter where it originated from. Like, that's up to the Migos to give them props. But the other rappers that got their influence from the Migos, they don't give a fuck where it started at. They learned it from the Migos. You know what I mean? So, like, they changed how hip-hop sounded. Whether you like how it sounds or not is irrelevant. Millions of people love it, so it doesn't matter. And they changed how everybody was rapping. They made a crazy impact. They had Bad and Bougie is a song that will live forever. That's Back That Ass Up. You know what I mean? That's one of those songs.
Million views.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? It's one of those records. Like, in 2035, you can throw that song on in a bar or a club, and people are like, oh, shit, cooking up dope with an you know, like, dude, motherfuckers will still love that song 20 years from now. They made a timeless record. So you got to salute them for that. And if you were a kid liking hip-hop and you were a teenager and grew up watching that, how would you not think those dudes were legends? You know? Like... Of course people that like would think that, like, dude, they were huge superstars, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just, like, I don't know, man. Like, part of me thinks like that we failed this new generation. I think we failed them because we don't respect our own legends, bro. Like, just look at the people our age, man. I've said this before, man. Like, bro, Jay-Z can't fucking do anything. And, you know, he's in the news right now because him and Jeff Bezos are talking about they want to buy the Washington Commanders, right? Throw them fucking comments. It's, you know, Nas, blah, 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 and, you know, you're lucky Tupac ain't here, and blah, blah, blah. Like, bro, Jay-Z, I mean, I know I'm a Jay-Z fan, like, you know, I'm a diehard Rockefeller fan. So, like, of course, like, you know, like, of course I might, you know, amplify what he's done a little bit more. But, I mean, bro, can you really, I mean, let's not be biased. I mean, can you really give me someone that did more for hip-hop than Jay-Z? Any other rapper? I mean, come on, bro. I mean, dude, he made superstars, made hit records. His fingerprints are all through culture, dude. Like, you know, Kevin Hart is the biggest comedian in the world. Guess what movie? Well, guess what his first movie was? Paper Soldiers, a Rockefeller film. He starred alongside Beanie Siegel. You know what I mean? Like, dude, he brought hip hop to sports. He brought hip hop. Dude, he was the first one that you bought the NBA game and it said executive produced by Jay-Z. He started to get people paid for people using their music and shit in video games. Like, I saw an interview with, like, the Red Hot Chili Peppers and Blink-182 saying, before that, we made, like, 9 cents, like, every week off those video games. Jay-Z came along, and now we get paid from those. Like, you know, like, dude, he's changed the culture. He's the first dude in the Songwriters Hall of Fame. Now he's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. He had Tidal, which paid, at the time, it paid artists more than any other streaming service. Bro, I could go on. Like, you know, he's done so much for the Mississippi inmates and, you know, the kid that killed himself after he was in Rikers for three years.
Believe
or something he didn't do for
Believe
backpack,
Browder,
whatever.
Yeah, Browder case.
Dude, he's given so much money to victims of police brutality. And, well, like, even the Super Bowl, bro, like, everybody was on him about saying, oh, we're past kneeling. He wasn't saying, like, fuck kneeling. He's saying, like, okay, man, like, they got it. Like, now what, bro? Like, are we just supposed to just kneel every week? And, like we want to change, right? So, like, give me a shot to change some shit. And guess what? They let him in the door. Bro, we had the coldest fuck. Tell me that was, I mean, you know, it's still early. He's only been in for a year or whatever. Tell me that wasn't a cold fucking Super Bowl halftime show. So, like, at the end of the day, you had to pick. Do you want to choose? You know, I supported Kaepernick until I started to realize, like, oh, wait, like, he self-sabotages a lot. Like, the Ravens were going to give him a chance. He showed up and did some nut shit with the practice and shit. And that's just selfish behavior. Then whenever he got the – he had a tryout for the Dolphins and did that nut shit with Castro and shit. You know what I mean? Like, but – do you want to support the one dude that was, you know, was a backup already, or did you support the rest of the black people that are in the sport? You know what I mean? Like, but what's crazy is there's people that love hip hop that won't give Jay-Z that credit because they're Nas fans. And it's like, bro, Nas and Jay have been friends for way longer than they had problems. And they'll still, like, bring up, like, a line that he said in Takeover, like, oh, see, he's a hypocrite. It's like, bro, you're really, like, holding that against him, like, 20 years ago? You know what I mean? Like, it's like, bro, we don't respect our legends at all, dude, at all. Like, there's so much disrespect, like, every time. So it's like, we want to act holier than now to these kids. You know, we're saying that they're not acting right. And it's like, bro, what fucking example did we fucking set, man? How many people my age let these young kids know about Chuck D and Rakim and Cole G Rad? Like, you know, like, we did a horrible, horrible job. And then all the rappers, they beefed with each other. You couldn't be a G-Unit and a Terror Squad fan. You couldn't be a Jay and a Nas fan. You couldn't like Biggie. Like, dude, there was so much bullshit. It went beyond the competition shit. Like, KRS and Shane, yeah, they had ugly, words to each other, but that was some hip-hop shit, you know what I mean? And if we, you know, my generation took it beyond that, man. You always heard about shootings at Hot 97, and this dude got jumped and all that. And to this day, we never see unity. We never praise any fucking body. Anytime a rapper makes it to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, oh, you know, why isn't Aerosmith in the Rap Hall of Fame? Like, you know, all that dumb shit. Like, nobody appreciates fucking anything. So, like, if we want to act holier than now when these kids are doing something detrimental, but, like, the only thing that they're doing different is recording it. That's the only thing. That's the only difference, bro. We got cameras now. It's just been going on forever, bro. The drugs. Rapping about
that's
drugs.
That's true.
Rapping about gang shit. Listen to, like, bro, I grew up on 3-6 Mafia, bro. Like, you know what I mean? They rapped about fucking hard drugs, coke and oxys and shit, and fucking, you know, where's my GDs and my CRIPs, my vice, bro. Like, you're saying that's not glorifying gangster shit? But we like 3-6 Mafia,
I think what it is,
so we can't say
I think what it is. I don't think it's a hip-hop problem. I think it's an unsupervised social media problem.
Bro, social media did it, and bro, I'm dead serious when I say this, man. Like, bro, go for a walk on a nice day out and look at all the people that have their children out and about. Bro, I know everywhere I go, man, like, the people my age that are raising kids, bro, there's so many baby mamas, baby daddies, and not enough mothers and fathers, not enough parents. They're just bitches with kids. They're, you know, they're their kid's friend. And, you know what I mean? And, like, the social media came along and gives everybody this false sense that their fucking opinions matter. Like, they'll sit there and type out a fucking Bible's worth of shit about why you should vote for or against Trump, and they act like that their fucking opinion matters. And it's like, bro, like, the internet ruined a lot, and it also makes us desensitized towards a lot of things. Now, like I said, bro, like, by this time next week, Kanye is going to say something crazy, or I just saw that Trump's supposed to announce he's running again. And, bro, we're not going to be talking about Offset. We're not going to be talking about Kyrie Irving. We're not going to be going on none of that. You know what I mean? And, like, I think that we have so much access that, like, you know, if when we were kids, if, you know, if Michael Jordan said something that we didn't like, it was impossible to let Michael Jordan know how we felt. But now Kevin Durant says something and people tweet him and he'll respond and shit. Like, and it's just like, I don't know, man. Like, it's hard to pinpoint what the fucking problem is, but like, I'm not acting like I have some kind of knowledge or I'm smarter than everybody. I'm not acting like that at all.
I think I might be able to shed a little light on it. The problem is when we have, and I preface this by saying, I am not, and I know both of you, my brothers, are not, we are not anybody who's going to tell an athlete to stick to the sport they play. We're not those guys. We're never going to be those guys. If you, as the great Optimus Prime said, freedom is the right of all sentient beings. And you have a right to speak your mind. I think the problem with what we have with people who get out there and say things is that a lot of times it is not well researched and it is just over the top because it fits a narrative for what people believe at certain levels. And that's the dangerous thing. This is why we have to be very careful about when we listen to what celebrities say, because nobody is infallible and there is nobody who cannot be wrong, because we've all been wrong at some point in our life. What happens is we have a situation where everybody looks at them because of an elevated pedestal of notoriety that they intrinsically have knowledge, which can't be further from the truth. Just because you're known doesn't mean you're smarter than everybody else. And understanding a level of celebrity means you have to have a certain level of consciousness about what you put out to the public. And that's the problem with certain people. Their thing is because, and I'm going to speak on this a little bit, it's like with Kanye. Kanye, in general, when he can't get his way, he likes to get out there. If we end up having a discussion about what has happened recently with him, then we will. But I'll just leave it on this. Certain situations, we've seen Kanye. Kanye is a genius at music. We will all agree with that. But Kanye is also one of those temperamental people that if he doesn't like something, he cannot like it and he cannot dislike it in peace. He wants everybody to know why he doesn't like something, why it's unfair. Yeah. And the thing is, number one, you're richer than most people. Two, you have way more celebrity. And I question, dude, how bad can your life really be? Really?
Yeah.
How bad can your life really be?
I mean, like I said, I'm the first to admit that I'm that I have Rockefeller bias. First to admit that, and like, bro, I never talked down on anybody that was on the Rock at all. I mean, bro, it hurts me when I see like Dame Dash like say bad shit about Jay or something. Like, bro, I turn that shit off. See it.
Yeah.
And like, I'm not the shut up and dribble type of guy. Dude. There's only a handful of like celebrities that like I actually like genuinely love, and bro, Muhammad Ali is one of them, and Mike Tyson's one of them. Like, if somebody would disrespect Ali or Mike Tyson in front of me, bro, I'd probably hit them. Like, I love those dudes. Like, and if they just shut up and box, how our world would suck, you know? But like, however, like the way I look at it, like any logical person, no matter how much you love Kanye West, it's impossible to agree with him 100% because, you know, he's flip-flopped a few times, you know, whatever, you know what I mean? But I have learned to, like, how do I know Kanye West? Okay, he made great music that I like. That's how I'm supposed to know him. But I try to never lose sight of that. Not saying that I don't care what he does or I let him, you know, that I, you know, if he says something, I just ignore. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that, you know, I try not to How does Kanye West feel about Jews affect you in any way? Right? You know what I'm saying? That's how I feel. And like, when people say, oh, no, but, you know, we're just talking on the internet. It's like, nah, bro, that's not what you're doing. Like, you're affecting other people's lives, bro, because, you know, him losing all those deals with them companies and shit, like, you ever think about the other people? Like, his assistants and people that work for him? Like, now they don't have jobs. And it's, you know, I understand. And one thing I want to just cover real quick. Enough with this shit, like, oh, I thought we had freedom of speech yet. Bro, freedom of speech has nothing to do with the internet. Nothing. If I start a social media app today and say, hey, you can join my social media app, but if you say good things about Master P, I'm fucking banning you. And I have every right to do that. It's my app. I have every right to do that. It's not, you know what I'm saying? And I would do that. I would ban you if you did. but just wanted to get that out there real quick. But, like, same with, like, Kyrie Irving and shit. Like, I support Kyrie. I'm kind of mad he apologized because, bro, I mean, I haven't really tried to, like, get the full story or anything, but I still just don't understand what he did. I just don't get it.
Well,
He tweeted a link from a movie that came out 4 years ago.
Right.
Right? That's what he did, right?
He did it, but he did it. And the thing is, Pat, he did not theoretically say anything. He did not use any slurs against the Jewish people. You know, he did not do that. The problem is that I think people have, and this is where he didn't understand it, and that's a whole other discussion about how people in terms of theology and everything. But the general thing is, and I'm going to go there with it. We'll probably get flamed online, but I'm ready for the smoke sitting in the section with it. The documentary itself plays on a narrative of trying to say who's authentic and who is not. And also, too, it has a lot of stuff that essentially for the Jewish people is offensive. Two of which, most notably, of them being Satan worshippers and that the Holocaust never happened. This is in a documentary. And this is the problem because it's also been decried by scholars all over as being a bunch of bunk. Now, I know some people are going to say when they hear this that, well, that documentary speaks on the black Hebrews. I'm like, well, yes, we do look in the theology section of the Middle East where the Bible takes place. Yes, that's all Africa. Yes, black people are from Africa.
I mean,
that's our home.
One thing like that I never really tell people is, bro, I actually have like a weird amount of knowledge about religion, bro. Like, I don't
talk about it because
I started to learn about it because, like, my mom, like, wanted me to learn about it and shit. And, like,
right.
So, like, you know, I always tell people because, bro, like, I've seen, like, a lot of people, like, hating on Muslim people and shit, like, after 9/11. And, like, you know, like, say that you never saw anybody wear a green shirt before. And then every time, like, you know, 3 days in a row, someone wearing a green shirt came up and punched you in the face. You're going to think the people that wear green shirts are fucking assholes.
Right.
So, like, you know, when 9/11 happened, it was, but that was the first time that, like, Islam had, like, a real face to a lot of people. So they, you know, and there is a fraction. I mean, that's, I'm not being offensive or anything. There is a fraction of people in the Middle East that are, you know, that are will get violent about their religion and stuff. You know what I mean? I try not to talk about religion too much because I don't want. I mean, I don't belong to any religion, dude. But like, I do believe in God, and I respect every single religion. I think that God was smart enough to know that not everybody's gonna agree. So I think he sent different messengers because at the end of the day, everybody kind of believes the same thing. You know what I mean?
It's
like, you'd be shocked to find out how, like, bro, like, I could tell you a bunch of things and you'd think I was talking about Christians, but really, it's the same thing Muslims believe. Muslims believe that Jesus is coming back and everything. You know what I mean? They believe the same shit. They just don't believe he's the son of God. He's the most quoted prophet in the Quran. And, like, they love Jesus. He's a very important person. So is Mother Mary. You know what I mean? But, bro, like, I'm not black. But, bro, the original, I mean, the original Jewish people were black, man. Like, they were black.
Right.
Right. I will say, like, you know, like, if you're black, you know, I will say this. I understand that now everything is just hot or cold. It's just zero or 100. Like, you can't
reason
with people, and you can't say, like, okay, I see your point here, but I don't know this point. You know what I mean? You can't be like that. So it's like you either believe in something or you don't or whatever. So, like, I understand that. For if you are black, you might not really know. If you didn't look into things and, you know, do a lot of reading about it and everything, like, you might not be sure and might just want to ask questions, and you'll get shut down instantly. And there, everybody is quick to just call someone a racist nowadays. Like, it's insane, bro. You know what I mean? But when you really, you're just trying to ask a question. You know what I mean?
And,
but like,
and you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. The problem is, in that situation, what happened with Kyrie, he was dismissive of the elements of when people brought it to him about what was in it, in terms of, he did not say anything anti-Semitic. He did not
say
that.
And look.
Right.
I don't have any problem with the Brooklyn Nets suspending him. I don't. I hate that he got suspended. But, yeah, bro, that's their business, dude. They're the Brooklyn. Dude, do you want to own a team in Brooklyn and have Jews mad at you? Like, that's not what you. That's not
that
good for
the
business.
Way.
you know.
That is not the way.
Am I wrong?
Absolutely.
I mean, fuck.
Right.
You don't want Jews to be mad. And like I said, bro, like, if you're running a business, like, that's their money. They're paying that dude. So whether if you think that he's 100% correct, dude, you have to just understand, man, that, like, don't be delusional. Don't be selfish. Like, that's a selfish way of thought, that to think that the way that you're thinking has to be law. No, bro. They're the ones that pay him, dude. If they feel that he's affecting their business in a negative way, whether you agree with him or not, you have to understand, bro. Maybe they don't, or maybe they do agree with him, but they're just, it's their money, it's their business, and they don't give a fuck about basketball. They care about money. That's what they're there for.
And
so if they feel that he's doing it, they have to make it look like they're you know, on him about it, you know?
Right.
And you know what, guys, I'm going to say this, too, and this is my take on it, too, and I think it should have been handled differently. Like, if he made the post, all he had to do was just flag, just like they do us, flag the post, take it down for misinformation, then chastise him behind the scenes. But a part of me look at it like what they wanted to do was they seen that Kanye wasn't going to really bow down like that, so they figure, okay, we're going to flex our muscle here, and we're going to go ahead and flaunt it here with him. Because to me, to punish him like that just based off of just sharing something is totally disingenuous. It just show up that, okay, we want to put a foot on his neck to show an example. And I felt it was unnecessary because all they could have done was, and the New Jersey Nets, they went ahead, they put the, if they wanted to suspend him, like you said, they should have went ahead and did that. But when you put that out there in the public, like, now that's showing dog whistles.
Dude, I know that it is shocking that old Jews are whining and complaining, but I'm joking.
I'm going to tell you with this situation, because one thing about it, and this is what we do on the show. We have those conversations that are going to be provocative. We are not racist. We are not homophobic. We are not anti-Jewish. We love all people. When we have a discussion like this, we have a discussion because we want to be open and honest. The fact is, the Holocaust did happen. So we're going to get that out the way now for those Holocaust deniers, and there are a whole lot of them. Y'all fucking wrong. It did happen, and a lot of people a lot of innocent people were killed for nothing other than their religion. So let's get that out of the way. When that happened, the Jews decided this ain't gonna happen to us again. And they banded together. Because when you look at situations of how a lot of these conspiracy theories start, it's all based around them. If they've got all the money, they're running everything. I'm like, well, on one hand of it, let's keep it real. A lot of them are in business and legal and banking. That is true.
Uh-huh.
The problem is when everybody tries to run that racist trope on them about how they control everything, because then it turns into they have a sinister plot against the world. They're going to be the world, all that stuff, the Zionists, which is no coincidence. This is a lot of the same stuff that those white supremacists say about them, too.
Yeah.
So I'm going to
Did anybody that questions if the Holocaust happened or not, just go to Google real quick and say and type in what is the population of Jews in the world. Bro, it's like 1% of people are Jewish. Like, bro, the Holocaust, fuck, they killed 6 million fucking people, dude. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like, that shit went down. Maybe the number could be off. I don't know, but all I know is a lot of fucking people. But
yeah,
one thing I want to say though, like, look. Dude, I'll admit, I do get annoyed sometimes when somebody, like if a black guy is arguing with a white guy, instantly the black guy's like, oh, you're racist. And like nothing racist happened yet. Like I hate when, I take that shit serious, bro. Like to me, racists are fucked up people, bro. So like that's a foul thing to call somebody if they didn't do anything racist yet, you know what I mean? Like, sometimes they might end up being right, you know what I mean? But like, and I just think that it's disrespectful to people that are victims of racism, you know what I'm saying? Like, when you're twisting people's words and you're trying to make somebody look like a racist, I think you don't have to do, there's enough of them that you don't have to do that to people that aren't, you know what I mean? But however, I wanna say this. I'm not black at all. I do feel, though, that when black people fuck up, like black, you know, stars, rappers, athletes, whatever, when they say the wrong thing, I just kind of feel like the action is a little more swift than it is for anybody else.
It is.
Aside from the Me Too shit, because that shit was just, they just went buck wild and just got everybody. But I feel like the attention is more on. And, I mean, maybe that also has something to do with, I mean, bro, like, black people fucking dominate interest. You know, like,
and
every sport is filled with you people.
I understand, Pat, and I'm going to tell you why. Because what happens is, there is still the race. This is where I'm going to try to break this down at a level of where we all can really relate and try and make sense of it. Racism is still alive in this country. It's still alive and well. And when you have some of these nouveau black people that try to say it doesn't exist or we're past that, Cam Newton, you're still wrong for what you said with that. And GQ magazine, when you made that statement, I'm going to just be here to let you know that. It ain't gone nowhere. The fact is, we are held to a higher standard because there's still an inherent bias towards us in terms of how we conduct ourselves
as people,
how we are perceived.
Look, I feel that, like, Kyrie Irving does a lot of charity work, and
he absolutely has. And listen,
black people are probably the most influential people on the fucking earth. Most people's idols are black, for real.
Mm-hmm.
If you think about it. If you grow up idolizing rappers, athletes, actors, you know, comedians, like, the one, you know, you could definitely argue that the best comedians of all time are Richard Pryor, Eddie Murphy, Dave Chappelle, you know, maybe even Chris Rock, you know, like you could argue that, you know, my favorite comic is Patrice O'Neill. You know, my favorite comic of all time is Patrice O'Neill. He's a black guy.
Right.
You know, athletes are all black. So, but if we would praise them for all the good that they do, and
I would have no problem with being a little harsher on them when they do fuck up, because, hey, man, like, you influence a lot of people, and we put a lot into praising you for all the great things you do. So whenever you put out an irresponsible message, we are going to be swift on you because you have the voice to impact the world. But that's not what's going on here. What's going on here is, how dare you go against the grain, motherfucker? Sit the fuck down. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it really feels like, yeah, and like saying, like, I understand that, like, bro, in these times, if I was black, I would probably be hesitant to call something racial unless it was 100%, because you don't want to be that guy that just pulls the race card. You know what I mean? But, like, I'm from just as an observer, man, I really do feel like that black people are, anytime, you know, it feels like, you know, get back in your place. You know what I mean? That's what it feels like to me. It's like whoa, you know, you're like go dribble that ball, dude. What are you doing? Like, you know what I mean? It feels like that. Like, know your fucking place, bro. It's not, you know what I mean? Like, if, like, Muhammad Ali, bro, like, Muhammad Ali could have changed the way you looked at things because he was a very likable person. He was very intelligent, all that. So, like, but they didn't praise him like that. And, like, that's what I mean about Kyrie, Kanye. Like, if we would praise them for all the great things they do, like, why isn't it common knowledge what these guys have done? A lot of people don't know about Kanye putting money, $2 million towards George Floyd, and Breonna then, Taylor. There's, like, five of them.
Yeah.
You know,
well, look
and, you know, like, why,
look at the drink
why
can.
Couldn't that
look
have been a common
can.
Knowledge thing? You know what I'm saying? Like, why
it
couldn't
is.
That be common knowledge? You know?
It is, but look at what he said on Drink Champs about George Floyd didn't die from a knee on his neck, which is what a
no,
lot
but,
of those conspiracy.
I'm sorry, T-Mac. I got to stop you there, bro.
Okay.
Sorry, man. That
go
is
ahead,
not
go
what
ahead.
He
said.
Like, look. Whether it, like, look, the one part that he where he made the mistake at is in that documentary.
Okay.
The guy that's, like, telling you the report, he claims that, like, I don't have a dog in the fight at all, but he does, bro. He's wearing a Blue Lives Matter pin. He, like, is a part of some group. Like, he definitely has a dog in the fight. He's on unbiased.
Right.
However,
right.
Like, the things that he said that were in the medical report are true, and I think, like, you guys can agree that George Floyd was definitely on drugs. However, unfortunately, I know what it's like to be a drug addict. And you don't overdose 40 minutes after you take a drug. That's not what happens. When you take fentanyl,
right.
You're like, oh, I think it's kicking in. And then you just, you're out. That's what happens. But, like, now, the clip that they're showing, yeah, it looks like that's what Kanye was saying. That's not what he said at the end. Now, it's drink champs. Maury cuts people off. Kanye gets off subject, all that. What he
mm-hmm.
said was along the lines of saying that he felt like there was, like, a narrative, which I can understand thinking that way. That, like, I think the dude definitely killed George Floyd. Let me say that. Like, he was 1,000% right. That was one of the hardest things that I've ever watched in my life. But, I've never seen cops turn on their own like that. That was weird. You know what I'm saying? Like, never did I see that. I was shocked that, like, his partners testified against him. That was crazy. But what he said was, he had all those drugs. Now this could have definitely, like, all right, here's really in a nutshell what he said. He said that these things were kept out of the trial, which is true. They didn't say the whole story of what his levels were and everything of what drugs. And the amount of drugs he was on, if somebody was kneeling on your back while you're on your stomach, the combination of both would definitely kill you. And that's what he was, like, kind of saying. And all he was pointing out was that was information that they left out, which was true.
But
that's not the clip that they're putting out. You know what I mean?
Right.
I think what it is, guys, hold on, what it is, though, I think the key reference is he said he seen that in the Candace Owens documentary. See, it ain't like
right.
that.
Yeah.
That's, that's the source right there. See, this is where I feel that the backlash is being posted on the celebrity, for the celebrity.
Yeah, and that's the one part, like, that's the big mistake he made, because in that documentary, the guy that's telling you this information, like I said he's an unbiased party. He's not, bro. Like, I'll find out his name, and I'll tell you his name, and just Google him, and you'll see, like, he's clearly not, like, an unbiased party.
But when you got information out there like that, and when it's even portrayed or framed, you're looking at a very visceral picture of something that we all knew had been going on, and we actually saw somebody die on camera. This is what the fuck was people saying.
Here's how I look at what Kanye said. I understand that he was trying to say, like, look, man, like, the media lies to you and the powers be lied to you. Like, none of this information was put out there. They made it look like it was. And he is right. Like, bro, for the longest time, I thought that Kyle Rittenhouse kid shot black people. That's what I thought he did. He didn't. There wasn't even black people involved in that shit. You know what I mean? But, like, a lot of people were tricked. The media, like, they, like, left some things out. You know what I mean? And the problem is like, Kanye, like, bro, you can't, you if you're going to say something like that, I understand what he was.
Put it in context.
I respect the fact that he should have picked something else to prove that you can't trust the powerful media. Yeah, he walked on the wrong subject, because it's hard. Like, I feel that, like, I understood what he was saying. Because if you listen to what he said at the end, he said, like, that the cop killed the guy. Like, he definitely said that. And I do believe that, like, the fact that George Floyd was, like, high and doing drugs at the time, like, yes, that probably didn't help him at all. But, like, the cop shouldn't have knelt on his fucking back for that fucking long. Like, you know what I mean? For 8 hours, for 8 minutes.
Eight minutes. And see, that's the whole point.
And like that, like I think Kanye meant to just say, look, the media kind of left out the part that, yeah, the cop killed him, but the drugs definitely played a part in that too. But they left that part out of the crowd, and that's okay that he wants to say that. But bro, it's a very touchy subject, and like if you can't be completely clear, it's just better that, like, Kanye knows better than to say something like that.
We all agree. And this is the problem with Kanye at times. He doesn't put things in a proper context. Like, when he says slavery was a choice, when he said it, I knew what he was saying. I thought it was, I thought it was just, he did not put context in it, because he's trying to say, in terms of the slavery way of mind, in terms of being oppressed, it's about you freeing yourself. I got what he was saying. The problem was Kanye does not put a lot of clarity behind it, and he will just fly off the handle and say whatever, and he doesn't think about it. And he thinks, and the problem is, anytime you say something, you have to give clarity, you have to give context. And with certain elements that are sensitive to people's emotions, where they are going to viscerally be affected by it, you really have to be. But see, his problem is at times he will say things that are off the wall and then get mad when everybody gets mad at him for it.
Yeah,
and I'm like, dude, you can't keep having it.
Yeah, I respected I feel that, like, I respect, like, what his mission was. His mission was to tell you, like, hey, man, like, the people in control of information can't be trusted. I respect that part of it. But he wasn't clear enough in saying, like, look, man, I'm saying that the cop was 1,000% wrong, but I'm just saying that they left out some information. And if he would have put it like that, we wouldn't really be having this conversation. But he wasn't clear enough on what he was saying.
But even if
he
broke that subject, it still would have been something that was still.
He should have picked.
Bro,
there's a million examples.
Yeah, and we both.
You know what I mean? Like, why pick that one? You know,
right.
You know what I didn't like, though, when that happened?
What's that?
You know the dude Van Lathan, he used to work at TMZ.
Yeah, yeah.
The guy that, like, spoke up against Kanye at TMZ that day.
Mm-hmm.
When that happened, bro, he claims that that day when Kanye did that shit at TMZ, that he had said something anti-Jewish, too, and got in an argument, and, like, Jews that worked there were like, I'm offended, man. He got in a big argument and stuff, and they ended up not airing that. And, like, to me, I ain't buying that shit at all. If they had Kanye saying slavery was a choice and something anti-Jewish, bro, they would have aired that shit in a second. And, two,
and you're absolutely
bro,
right. You're absolutely right.
Two,
me,
if
man,
there's not...
See, what it is, I'm going to tell y'all what it is. See, what that is to be, he's trying to get back into the whip, so to speak, because, you know, he got fired.
If you can't prove that that happened, then it just simply didn't happen. You can't throw that information out there when it can't be fucking proven, dude. Like, I just thought that was he doesn't even work at TMZ, and he hasn't for like a year and a half, 2 years. You're telling me he sat there for 2 years and didn't say anything, and then now all of a sudden, oh yeah, Kanye said that back then too. Like, bro, I just felt that was like a sneak fucking move.
And I just don't believe it. You're absolutely right. That's Bush League. Because that situation,
like,
you know, that's where piling on comes in. Because
even if that happened, that dude knows he can't prove that that happened. So he should just, man, I can't put that out there. That sounds too crazy. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's irresponsible journalism, dude. That's what that is. You know what I mean? Like, that's ridiculous. Like, but real quick, T-Mac, I told Eric, like, now we know that Kanye, his net worth isn't in the billions anymore. But I told Eric that, bro, I know a way that Kanye can make a lot of money and become a billionaire again. And at first, I just thought this was a funny joke, but then I thought about it, and I'm like, it's still a funny joke. But, bro, this would – I'm not saying it would make him $1 billion, but, bro, this would be hilarious if he did it. If he put out – since, you know, they're selling his clothes now without his name on it and not giving him any money and all that shit. Bro, if he came out with a Kanye yarmulke and called it a yarmulke, bro, everybody would buy one. And that would be the funniest shit ever,
ooh,
bro. Like,
whoop,
like that would be hilarious, bro.
The irony. Like, oh, the irony.
Dude, that would be so funny, bro. Like, I would wear one.
Boy, man, look, that's some... Ooh, we're not going to that one. Oh, boy, that he does something like that. Man, that's...
Ooh.
But it's funny, y'all, what they were saying about how those situations happen, because I just literally stumbled across this. Now they're trying to bring up some remarks about some stuff where he did an interview with David Letterman some years ago that they said were edited out. So I'm going to read some of this because I was like, what? I'm like, okay, if this is true, then they really going to bury his ass on this. So this is a tagline. Kanye West reportedly blamed Rihanna for domestic abuse during Letterman interview. More controversial comments from Kanye West are coming to light. According to a report from The Wrap, the former billionaire referenced Nazis and blamed Rihanna for her own domestic abuse during a 2019 interview with David Letterman. Multiple audience members who attended the taping of the comedian's Netflix talk show, My Next Guest Needs No Introduction with David Letterman, said West complained that the media always seemed to support women over men when misconduct allegations surfaced. He appeared to side with Chris Brown following his 2009 assault of Rihanna, suggesting that Rihanna must have done something to deserve what happened to her. According to David Maldonado, who was in the theater for the taping, Ye stated that Chris Brown's career is basically over and you have Rihanna, and everyone took her side. He went on to claim that she must have done something to merit what happened to her. That wasn't the only comment edited out of the interview. West apparently went on a rant about how an unnamed music executive friend got Me Too'd and how West himself could be Me Too'd. He also suggested that a Hollywood power structure was behind the Me Too movement, which appeared to be a reference to Jewish people. West repeated ring conspiracy theories during the Letterman interview, claiming that liberals treated anyone wearing Trump's red MAGA hat like they were Nazis. The shocking comments were largely removed from the final edit of the May 2019 episode that streamed on Netflix. Now, in terms of what I just read and what we just heard, we'll parse through this.
Well, hold on a second. You left the part out, because I'm reading that too. And he said this sentence: "Of course, I side with Chris Brown." He said, "Of course, quote. This is a quote. Of course, I side with Chris Brown. I'd beat a bitch down too." That's what he said.
Mm-hmm.
Oh wait, never mind. That was Eminem that said that, but he still got his hundreds of millions of dollars. That's what Eminem said. Eminem said that's a quote from Eminem. So like,
that's
I was joking. And Kanye didn't say that. Eminem said that.
Oh, okay. And I was like,
that Eminem said that in a song, but you know, like I said, I mean, I was saying, you know, before, like how it's, I bet in these times, like, I bet there is times where you guys are, you know, as black men, I bet you guys sometimes are like, oh, is this worth the fight? You know what I mean? Because, yeah, like I said, I mean, just being unbiased, like, you have to see that, yes, there's a lot of racism, and a lot of racism, but there's also some that isn't, that gets called that. So I bet there's sometimes that there's some fights where you're like, that's a little racial, but I think I'm going to sit this one out. It's not, you know, it ain't worth it.
I
honestly feel that, like, that when something happens, the punishment just kind of always just seems more harsh on black people, bro. I genuinely feel like that.
Mel Gibson turned into a punchline.
For a minute, I mean, you got to think about it, Wayne. His movie career stopped for a minute after that. I mean, they shut him down for a while after that happened. Yeah, so I mean,
he was already what, 60 years old? Like, I mean, like. But he wasn't really starring. I mean, his prime was well over. And the only two white people that really, I feel that really got criticized most was, and I was actually surprised by it, but Daniel Sterling, the owner of the Clippers, he was forced to get rid of his team. And even though for some reason I see on the fucking internet all the time, like, about Harvey Weinstein? Like, bro, Harvey Weinstein's done in this town, bro. Like, Harvey Weinstein's done. Like, he's going to prison forever. You know.
Well, the thing was,
I do agree that he's not bashed in the media as much. I will say that. But he, when it comes to the law, he definitely didn't get no break. Didn't he get like 23 years or something?
Yeah, but I'm going to give you some context behind both of those, y'all. Now, the situation with Donald Sterling, even before that happened. Because the issues with Sterling had gone back some years in terms of him being a slumlord, and they really didn't do anything about that, you know, which was obviously a different situation. But the situation when it became audible about the racism, in terms of it was something that they actually saw, or heard rather, that was when they were like, this is bad for business. The situation with Weinstein was a power broker in Hollywood and Jewish.
Yeah.
That's the irony of it. But Weinstein did a lot of stuff, and I don't want to go long-winded, but I got you to kind of give the full element of it, but it'll be short at the same time. He was Harvey Weinstein at his peak of Weinstein Productions. That was the green light for you getting into Hollywood, in terms of he had a lot of influence with his company and who he was as an individual. And it was not an exaggeration to say that if you did not go through him, you weren't getting anywhere. He was one of the people you had to go through to get, you know, to get credited, in terms of you were going to get validated. But the thing is, too, with a lot of the women that he abused and everything, it just got to, because everybody, the one thing about Hollywood, y'all, and we know a few people in there, we're not saying no names,
But we get told stuff off air, and we know about how that business works in terms of what you have to do to kind of get in that door. And the thing is, Weinstein, I'm a go there. It was a lot of white women that got caught up in that to the point there was too many white women that they were like, nah, you ain't going to keep doing this to them. And ultimately, because when you look at some of the women, the white women's names that were in it, in terms of who were involved with that situation, where they said he, it was like, and the thing is, too, everybody knew he was doing that. It just got to the point they couldn't hide it anymore.
Listen, man, that dude ended up, it probably started out, like, I mean, he's been doing this for a long time. So back in, like, the 70s and 80s, it was probably, like, it might have even been a woman's idea at first. Like, hey, I'm willing to do whatever I got to do to get this role and the wink, wink, you know what I mean? But then over time, it made him into a monster. And he became, you know, like if you didn't fuck him, then fucking you were done in the town. You know what I mean? And then you see all these people like thanking him when they win awards and shit. And it's because, bro, he probably, after he, like, you know, he probably continued to abuse him. Bro, he probably, that was probably part of the deal. Like, you go up there and act like you love me, bitch. You know what I mean? Like, he was probably, it was probably just him being a monster. Like, that's why, like, people say, oh, yeah, well, she was on, you know, when she won her Oscar, she was all happy and saying, Weinstein, that's like, bro, that might have been part of it. Like, get up there, I'll make sure you win tonight. Get up there and say you love me, bitch. You know what I mean? Like,
but
he's a foul motherfucker, you know?
But this is the tricky part about it, though, because obviously we as men, we as moral men, we do not condone rape or assault or violence against women of any kind. That's not our thing. We don't do that. But we also know in Hollywood there is a power structure that they're going to exploit women. And the fact is, because we didn't see it, we're not saying it didn't happen. But what we're saying is there was enough people that kept coming out. There was enough women that kept coming out. Like I said, when you're looking at the race card, especially that these are white women that are being victimized by a man in position, it goes from the gender to race. But when you're dealing with a white man who is abusing white women in a position of power, it's going to cause an issue. You know, it's just something that you got a lot of white women.
But I mean, here's how sick the world is, though, T-Max. Here's how sick the world is.
Right.
Bro, he might have been taken out and thrown in prison because somebody wanted his spot. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's how that's at least how evil I think a lot of these motherfuckers are, bro.
Well, in Hollywood, it's a twisted game, Pat, and that's why Hollywood, no matter
because
what
I, now
you
I
want
to know who took his place. Who's checking up to make sure this type of shit isn't going on now? Because, I mean, look, to be honest, bro, like, don't you find it, like, kind of, I mean, isn't there a part of you whenever you start to hear about these like, 30 women coming, talking about shit that happened 30 years ago, and you're like, oh, man, come on, man, like, what's really going on? So let's not do that in the future. Who's making sure these things aren't happening now, and who took his place?
Well,
how do we know that evil ain't still happening?
Well, the thing is this. This is where, because it's going to kind of go into a sidebar of a conspiracy theory, but we'll try to stay away from that. At least I will. The thing is in Hollywood is that there's a lot that goes on no matter what color you are. And that's where a lot of people find themselves. I mean, whether you are gay, whether you are straight, whether you're male, female, whether you're black, white, Latin, there's a lot that goes on behind those closed doors. And if we look at a lot of the history with a lot of people in terms of how they got their big break, we might be scared as shit to see what they found, what they had to do to get there. So when we look at the underlying nefariousness of what goes on in business, especially when it comes to entertainment, it's nothing there that we don't know. Because the fact is, in terms of we don't know that. We all know stuff goes on. We know the story. We see how a lot of people, you hear about Corey Feldman, about how the stuff he dealt with Hollywood. We saw Drew Barrymore, all the drugs she was on, and she was young back then. The parties. I mean, we know all of this. Situations. A lot of, and when they talk about the gay Hollywood, I'm like, we don't know a lot of those people in Hollywood are gay. That's no big thing. What I'm saying is we know a lot of stuff happens behind closed doors. It just, but when it gets out there like it does, to where it really becomes a problem in terms of you're letting it run wild and nobody's doing nothing and they can prove somebody has been doing this, then ultimately they got to – somebody's like, okay, you did this, you put it out there.
Weinstein, though, like the shit that he was doing, man, like it was some evil shit, you know what I mean? And especially because, like, he had the power – to make or break you. Like, that's what made it so evil. Like, you know what I mean? Like, bro, he's probably like the second most evil person in entertainment history, for real.
Who's the first?
Master P.
But,
oh, he ain't never let that deep down. Motherfucker abandoned his brother. Motherfucker, his brother got life. He abandoned him and is out here selling jail food. Like, you motherfucker. You know what I mean? All right, but look, guys, listen, I gotta get going. I gotta hang up here in a second. So, but here, just not to go backwards in what we were talking about, but I will leave you guys with this. For everybody on the subject of, like, no more rapping about violent shit and no more drill through it and blah, blah, blah. All right. So let me just, so we would have to wonder, what would the culture look like if that was to happen? Luckily.
That's true.
Luckily, we have an example of what would have happened. Everybody just look up Master P, Take a Stand Records. Back in the, when Don Imus said the nappy-headed hose comment, which.
Right.
It was a bad comment, but I do believe he was trying to be funny. It was a bad joke. It wasn't funny.
I'm trying to figure this out, guys. Hold on. I'm trying to figure this out. How the hell did that get flipped on hip hop? That's what I'm trying to figure out to this day.
Because anything, it's going to have an intrinsic. Anything ethnic is considered black.
And to be fair though, you have to realize he was a long time, probably. I mean, he was on top and there for a long time until Howard Stern came along, and it's New York City. So, like, if he would have said that in Alabama, we would have, on Alabama radio, we probably would have never heard it. But, like, saying it on New York radio made it worse. And then you have, you know, it was during the Rutgers basketball, female basketball team's run. And
yeah, but now he had a whole,
you know, and that, over on yeah, black, over
that,
on
that
black
like,
radio.
That was,
yeah, like over on Black Radio, you got Hot 97 and Power, like saluting the Rutgers girls, and then when you turn on the white station, the guy's saying "nappy headed hoes." So I kind of get it, but like, I don't think it was funny. But however, I will defend the intent. I don't think he was funny. I think it was a bad joke.
Was it racist in his merits? I don't think he was trying to be.
Okay, look, here's a good way to put it. It was definitely racially insensitive. I don't think it was hateful. I don't think he meant to be hateful.
We agree.
I think he thought he was being, like, ironic, like he's an old, corny white guy. And, like, to him, he just, they say, you know, nappy-headed hoes in rap songs. Like, that's what he thinks in his mind. So he's trying to be ironic and funny by saying that. But, like, it just didn't land. Like I said, it wasn't a funny joke, but I don't think he was trying to be hateful. I think it was a racially insensitive thing. I'll always defend somebody trying to be funny, even if I don't like the joke. Like, that's why I couldn't defend Kramer when he did that shit, because he didn't say the N-word in the course. He didn't say the N-word in the course of a joke. If he would have said it in a joke, I think, he probably shouldn't have said that, you know, but, like, no, he said it out of anger, and that's what fucked him up. But, where was I going with that?
But well, oh yeah, when that was, when that all happened,
pissed off at an audience member, and that's when he used it. And you ain't seen Michael Richards since then.
He turned into a punchline. You know what I mean? Like, but like, look. So back when that was going on, you had like Oprah and Jesse Jackson. You know, they remembered. Oh yeah, that's right. We're black again. I forgot. Yeah, because like they never care about anything. Like they don't do anything. They never speak up on anything until white people do. Right, that's a fact. Like fucking, you never see them unless it's usually black women. That's when Oprah will stick. She won't defend anybody unless they're a black girl and white people are also mad with her. That's usually Oprah's MO. And Jesse Jackson, but everybody was freaking out about that shit and like saying like, you know, and of course like the people that were defending Imus were like, whoa, I hear rappers say way worse shit, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
So, you know, Mr. fucking, here comes Percy. You know, Percy threw on his knockoff Jordans. He's like, I'm going to save the fucking world, bro. And he had this brilliant idea. He had his fucking mentally challenged brother, Silky, and his fucking, his knockoff Bow Wow son of his. And he's like, we're going to fucking take all these terrible fucking rappers we have on our roster and change it from, I don't even know what fucking label he had before that, because the only one anybody ever mentions is No Limit, but he had New No Limit, Soldier Urban or something.
Gutta Music too.
Yeah. He had a nice 2-year run when everybody did. But, that's another story. But he was like, you know what? I'm going to save the world right now, man. I'm going to make white people and hip-hop happy. I'm going to do a fucking entire record label called Take a Stand Records, and we're not going to curse, and we're going to put out music that sounds like gangster music, but we're not saying bad words, and we have a good message. And fucking nobody will fucking talk. Master P hasn't talked about that shit since. It was the worst thing that ever happened. By far, dude. I remember he came on. I remember he came to Hot 97 in New York, and it was like September 11th of like 2007, and that ended up being the worst thing that ever happened to New York on September 11th was Master P coming with that shitty ass label. But that's what you guys are asking for right now. You're asking for an eternity of Take a Stand Records and fucking Will Smith songs. You guys want to get jiggy with it for fucking 30 years? Or do you guys just want to fucking stop being pussies about everything and just let people shoot their fucking ops? Who gives a fuck? You know what I mean? Like, bro, Takeoff didn't... Takeoff didn't die for anything like that shit. Like, Takeoff's death had nothing to do with the content of music. Nothing.
No, absolutely not.
Wasn't that situation. You know what I mean? Like, it had nothing to do with it. But, gentlemen, I do got to get off of here, though. Oh, my God, it's 10:39.
Okay.
That's crazy.
Yeah, man.
But, look,
yo,
man.
So, it was a dope bill tonight, man. So what we want to do is...
T-Max, thank you, dude. I knew one of the reasons why I suggested this to Eric is because I knew that you would have a lot of good points. And I know that I'm, you know, I get talkative and
sometimes get overpassionate,
you know, like something... I mean, usually if I'm willing to share my opinion, like I have looked into it and I kind of feel strongly about how I feel. I try not to talk about things that I'm not too certain of, you know what I mean? But I knew we would have good dialogue, man, and I knew that we would I hope maybe people will listen to this and see how grown-ups are supposed to act, because me and you, you know, we both have different views. We're different people from different cultures, and you know, we have a lot of same interests and stuff, but, you know, you might not agree with some of the things that I said tonight, and I might not agree with some of the things you said, but, bro, like,
but
not
we respect
once did
each
we...
other as men and friends.
Yeah,
and
we
family,
didn't
most
we
of all.
Get mad at each other, nothing. That's how we're supposed to be, you know what I mean? Like, because if we just keep going to the extreme on everything and just everything's just you versus them, and you're either hot or cold or whatever. It's like, bro, like, life's not a simple thing, man. There's a lot of fucking issues. There isn't an answer. They're like, everybody always wants an instant solution. Like, sometimes you have to let things shake out, and it's okay to not agree with the popular opinion, or it's okay to say, like, oh man, usually I feel like this in these situations, but I don't know, this time I kind of feel like this. Like, bro, like, free yourself, man. Like think for yourself and think logic. Like, bro, there's just a lot of times, man, where I just think that logic escapes us, and it's just, let's just attack each other and say cruel shit to each other on the internet and shit. It's just corny behavior all around, bro. But all I know is I'm tired of fucking seeing people die, whether they're fucking famous or if it's just some fucking dude that fell on the train. I'm tired of seeing that shit. And real quick, man, this bugs the fuck out of me. I'm sorry, guys. I don't mean to talk everybody's ear. Look, man, I try not to fucking talk shit on anybody. I might crack some jokes on other people and stuff, but, you know, whatever you want to do, do your fucking thing. Like, and, yeah, I've interviewed Hassan Campbell, like, fucking 10 times. He's never done anything with, like, to me or anything. I kind of don't really, I don't rock with him no more. I think that he went way off the rails. I mean, I've never seen him mad at anybody but black people, for one. You know what I mean? I've never seen him be mad at anybody but black people. Anytime something happens, he just looks at how black people react and dogs them for it. That's what he does every fucking time. And it's like, bro, I don't even want to go where I was just about to go. But, like, you weren't a victim, bro. You were in a relationship, dude. Like, but listen, when the takeoff shit happened and Gilly had that video and was mad as fuck that people were recording it and posting it on the internet and then people were sharing it and stuff. And I was like, oh, look, he's more mad at the people for doing that than he is at the shooter and blah, blah, blah. Listen, man. The dude just, you know, I don't know what his relationship with the Migos is. I've seen them around them. They've been on the show and stuff and all that. But I can't tell you. When I heard Takeoff died, I had to Google which Migo that was. Like, I know all three of their names. I don't know which one is which. You know what I mean? But, bro, like, that scene, like, I just saw, like, a still image of him laying there. But that did something to me, bro. I don't know him. I'm not even a fan of this. But, like, I just saw, like, a successful dude that, like, bro, like, I saw part of their interview that they did. I think it was Hot 97 or something. It was him and the other, I think Quavo or whatever, about their album, because now there's only two of them or whatever. And, like, the dude just seemed like he was, like, very motivated and, like, genuinely happy with how things were going for himself. And, like, it seemed like he was getting good feedback on the album and he was, like, happy about it. But, bro, like, the fact that he rapped doesn't matter to me. Like, I saw, like, I just seen a dude that, you know, I'm sure he helped his mama out and his family, and he employs people, and, you know, he was a happy dude, man, and he was young, and I just, I didn't like seeing a dead dude lay there. Like,
it ain't fun. Like, I've seen a dead body.
You know?
I've seen someone get shot. It ain't fun.
Oh, bro, I've
it
seen
is
dead
not
fun. Several times. It hurts, bro. Like, I mean, bro, like, I can't even watch, like, the Nipsey shit, and, like, you don't even really see too much of that. You're like, bro, like, could you imagine if there was footage of, like, when Soldier Slim died? Bro, that would have killed me, bro. You know what I mean? But,
oof.
Like, bro, when this shit just happened, though, dude, Gilly made a video, and he was clearly fucking mad. I don't know how anybody could see Gilly's reaction and think that he's more mad at people recording than the person who shot him. That's just an idiotic way to fucking think. What was he supposed to do? We didn't even have that information yet. How can he be mad at somebody when he don't even know the situation? He was mad at the insensitivity of the other people that weren't involved, that we were just like, they didn't look at it like, oh, somebody just died here. It was, yo, a popular rapper dead and I got the video. That's the approach it seemed like people had. And, bro, like I said, I don't know much about the fucking Migos and Takeoff and shit. And this shit affected me. Now, Billy knows them dudes and saw that, bro, and it probably fucked him up. And he probably saw it a few times by a few different people, and he felt it was necessary to fucking make that video. And then I see fucking big YouTuber fucking Hassan Campbell make a fucking whole video like dissing the fuck out of Gilly for doing that. And saying, like, you motherfuckers are lost. And, you know, he did, like, the shit that he thinks is funny, and it's just corny. Like, he was mad that they turned his TV off. And it's like, bro.
It's like, get the fuck out of here, man.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, but that shit just bothered me to my core, man. Because it's like, you just showed me right there, dude, that you don't give a fuck about nothing, bro. It's all just how many views and how do I throw my name into this news that's going on. He was mad that if you Google Takeoff's death and scroll down a little bit, Gilly's name popped up. So, man, how the fuck did Gilly put himself in this? I'm going to talk shit on Gilly. So now my name's about. It's the most, like, corny fucking, like, I don't know how these people fucking exist, bro. And, like, I'm, like, this motherfucker does this shit all the time. Anybody listening, you guys on this show, y'all can clip this up. Hassan, this is fucking Pat. I used to interview you on the other show with Scott. You know who I am. Like, bro, like, that shit is corny, man. Like, I don't know, like, I don't, when I would talk to Hassan back in those days, bro, he wasn't as well known or anything, and he seemed like he was a decent dude, and I thought that he was stepping in, like, I thought he was trying to do something productive and positive. Now, bro, he's just a fucking media clown, bro, and, like, his mission when I was interviewing him, and this is the reason that, like, right, you can ask my old co-host, the reason why he's in those archives 1,000 times is because when he was starting his YouTuber shit, he was on a mission to hold the people that, you know, sexually abused him and other, you know, and help other victims and hold people accountable, and he said he wanted to make a change where people felt comfortable calling out the people that were doing this to kids. And that's why we had this motherfucker on. I promise you, you can look up those interviews, and that's 99% of our conversations. All right? Now, I'll give it to this dude. He's a hell of a deceiver because, you know, the minute you push back on his story at all, you come to find out, wait a minute, like, maybe he took advantage of you when you were younger or something, bro, but you weren't no victim, dog. You had a relationship with this dude. At the time you were making these videos about him, he was still paying the mortgage on your house. Who does that, bro? You weren't a victim. You're a fucking adult, you fucking clown. Like, you had another man paying your rent, your mortgage, and you would fuck him for it. That's what you were doing. And something went wrong along the way, and you saw your fucking chance to get fucking attention. And now, I never got attention because I'm a bug-eyed looking fucking little loser, and I'm a fucking sissy that's in the closet, and, you know, I mean, look at the dude. You know he got picked on. He's from the Bronx. Come on. You nerdy-ass clown. And he fucking used that and fucking made a career out of it. And the minute he got, like, a few followers, just look how he talked to people. Going into, like, Burger King and drunk. And the motherfucker was drinking, like, $1.25 beers from the gas station, getting all wasted. going to Burger King, talking to people like shit, treating the workers like shit, and saying, I'm a big YouTuber, I'm going to expose you, and blah, blah, let it all go to his fucking head. And now, every time a rapper dies, he has to inject his dumbass opinion in. It's the same opinion all the time. And let's not forget that whenever you were talking about them dudes from the Bronx and them kids came to where you were at, what was your first move? Huh, Poppy? What did you do? You pulled a gun out. Mr. fucking Rachel, his first reaction was to pull a gun out. The Mr. I wanted to save the children, before a word was spoke, you pulled a gun on a 15-year-old. That's who you are, bro. So you want to be mad at Gilly because he had genuine feelings that he didn't like seeing somebody that he knew. He saw a young man laying there dead, rapper or not. And he felt some type of way that people didn't care that the dude was dead. They just wanted the credit for having the video before everybody. And you knew that if you scrolled down, take off fucking search, Gilly's name would pop up because Gilly made sense and Gilly was genuine for what he felt. He was truly hurt by that shit and he was truly mad. He wasn't looking for it. He don't need the attention. He's actually successful. He has a job. You have a bunch of clowns that are just like you that subscribe to your YouTube. That's what your job is. You sit in a house that Bambada paid for. I'll give you credit. You sucked a lot of dick for that, so you worked hard for it. But Gilly has a job. He don't need the attention. His reaction was genuine. You got jealous when the news of the day, your name wasn't in deficit. You had to make a response to you. So I don't care who wants – you can clip this part up. This isn't off-the-cuff radio saying this. My co-hosts aren't saying this. It has nothing to do with them. This is me saying this. And I'm not acting like I'm as well-known as you, Poppy. Like, there's nothing to do with that. Like, all right, dude, you're the cool kid in this class. I ain't nobody. I get it, bro. I don't want to be nobody, dude. I don't even – like, man, I go by an alias. I don't even post pictures of myself on the internet. I don't even have a YouTube channel, and I've been interviewing legends for 7 years. I don't do this for attention, bro. I get pussy. I don't suck dick for a roof. That's you, you bug-eyed clown. So this ain't my co-host, and I know he don't even got no followers. I don't want no. I'm a leader, dog. You're just part of a bunch of followers that just follow each other. You're a clown. You're a groupie, bro. You're a Zulu Nation groupie, bro. That's who you are. You dated the Zulu Nation leader. That's what you are, bro. Don't ever forget that. Don't lose sight of who you truly are, Poppy. Clown. But I'm sorry to do that on you guys' airwaves without asking or giving you a warning, bro. I'm sorry, man. That shit bothers me, bro. I hate these fucking – I mean, let's be honest with ourselves. People will sit there all day and type this righteous shit out on their phones and post it. You know, and that film was made by, like, a fucking 5-year-old slave in fucking Asia. He's a child slave. You know what I mean? So, like, let's curb the fucking righteousness every once in a while and stop acting like you're above everybody. You know what I mean? And, like, Poppy, you can try that tough guy shit with me, bro. I love it. I don't want to catch no hate crimes. So we can't do it in June because that's Pride Month. So I ain't going to do it then. But fucking, yo, again, this has nothing to do with the show I'm on. Has nothing to do with these two guys on here at all. I don't even know if they know what I'm talking about. I don't even know if you guys even see me. It just made me so mad, bro, because it was just so transparent that it was, oh, man, my name's not getting talked about. Like, he don't give a fuck about Takeoff, and he don't give, but get the fuck out of here, bro. You know what I mean? Like, he wanted his name talked about, bro. And it's like, he has the nerve to sit up there and act like, oh, Jay-Z's the Illuminati and he profits off people's death. Bro, that's what you're trying to do right now, bro. That's what your whole existence is. You say the controversial thing when somebody that everybody loves passes away. You got to be the guy that comes in and makes everybody feel bad. Because they somebody that they like listening to their music and shit. And they go, man, I like this dude. I like this song. Blah, blah, blah. I like watching his interviews and shit. Oh, he deserved it. He talks about killing ops all the time. He got his TV turned off. His sweat ducks rock. You fucking clown. Like, you do that, bro. That's what you do. You cross that. You are living off of sucking dick and profiting off of rappers dying, bro. And then you sat there with Walk 100 and Tekashi 6ix9ine and Academics. Like, come on, bro. That's the corniest shit ever. And dude, we don't have half the audience of him. And if you guys said Tekashi 6ix9ine is coming on the fucking show, I'm sorry, guys. I'm done. I ain't doing that.
We won't have
for many
we
reasons.
We will never put Tekashi on the show.
Not because he's a rat, even. Not even because he's a rat. Just because it's just a clear attention seeker. You're not doing it for any reason except to just try to be popular. I just don't think that that's genuine. You know what I mean? And dude, like, you can find it anywhere. I mean, the dude would trash him all the fucking time. And then the minute he got invited on, he was there. Oh, the cool kids they called me this time. They didn't pick me last. I didn't have to fuck the leader of the Zulu Nation to get somebody to know my name. This is awesome. You fucking clown. But, all right, y'all. I'm sorry to do that, man. Like, you can edit that out. Like, you don't have to air that, bro. Like, I apologize for not giving you a heads up. I wasn't even thinking about it. It just popped in my head. I was just really bothered by it. But the things that I said, they don't reflect anything that Off the Cuff Radio or these guys, like I said, nothing to do with it. That's a personal thought. You know what I mean? And I'll stand behind every fucking syllable that I fucking said. But anyway, gentlemen, I'm sorry I turned the end of that show ugly right there. I'm sorry about that. But like, he's almost as bad as Master P. He's getting there. You know what I mean? But look, man, again, I apologize for that. But, yo, I thought we had great dialogue and shit. And ended on a good note. It looks like in the very near future, we got some pretty cool guests coming on, man. I'm going to try to lock it in maybe tomorrow or the next day. Anytime I list, like, my favorite, like, slept-on albums of all time, I always include this album. I know Eric remembers T-Max. I'm sure you do. You're like a fucking dictionary and shit. But an encyclopedia, I guess you would be. An encyclopedia. But remember back in, like, 05, 06, Scarface had that group, Scarface
the
Presents the Product. Yeah, bro, like, always, I love that album, bro. Like, bro, to be honest, I probably listen to that almost as much as, like, The Fix by Scarface. But when I went to prison, that was one of the tapes I had. And, bro, there's only been, like, four tapes that I never traded and never got rid of. And that's one. I love that fucking album, bro. Like, to finish. And I don't know why, man. I just never thought to, like, hit those guys up and shit. So, like, I made a post yesterday, and I, like, just posted five albums that, like, you never hear people give credit for, like 50 Cent's Power of the Dollar. Bro, I love that album. Like, I know that album word for word because, like, when he got dropped by Columbia and they didn't release that album, he had a hell, when he was bouncing back from getting shot, his street team and his hustle was crazy, bro. And you can ask the dude Walter, Eric, you from Pittsburgh we talked to. Fucking, we, in Pittsburgh, bro, we knew 50 Cent, like, a few years. Like, and not from, like, How to Rob or nothing, but, like, from just him coming to Pittsburgh, like a street team coming to Pittsburgh and flooding our streets with Guess Who's Back, Power of the Dollar, 50 Cent is the Future. So, like, when he signed to Eminem and shit, nobody in Pittsburgh, like, I mean, if you knew, just if you just liked rap music a little bit, you knew who 50 Cent was, because that's how great of a job he did by promoting himself. And that Power of the Dollar shit, man, love that album. Slim Calhoun, The Skinny, that's one of my favorite albums ever that I never hear people talk about. And I posted that, the Scarface one. What was the other one I posted? There was five of them. Damn. But, yeah, I don't know why. I just never thought to, like, look those dudes up and, like, reach out to them or anything. But I tagged them in the post, and, Capone, the Pain, Time, and Glory album. That album's great. Did you guys ever listen to that album?
I got the single. I actually got that single on 12-inch.
Oh, bro. That album's great. It got fucking Scarface on it, Raekwon. Bro, he got this joint on there called Where the Stuff At with C-Murder and Bun B. And then he's on C-Murder's album, too. But I love that fucking album, man. I know that shit like the back of my hand, bro. But, yeah, I just tagged those guys, man. He, like, thanked me for, like, showing him love and shit. And he, like, hit my DM, got each other's numbers and shit. And I was just going to have him on the show. But without me even saying anything, he was like, all right, man, yeah. I was like, oh, man, I'll talk to my co-host. I'll get us, like, 3 or 4 open days, and you can just pick which one's best for you. He's like, all right, yeah, I'll call Willie, and we'll both come on. We're going to both members of the product now, Willie Hand and Young Mallet. So, like, that should be a very good episode. So I'm going to try to get that locked in this week for sure, hopefully in the near future. We'll have those guys on.
Yeah, we about to go ahead and get out,
and I have
man.
A few other things. I have a few other things I'm working on, too, but I don't want to jinx them. But, all right, guys, I'm going to go ahead and sign off. But thanks again, and this was a good episode, man. I'm glad we did it.
Always, man. You always welcome to Bill, man. We definitely be doing more episodes like this because it's great to have our voices being heard. And it shows that, unlike other shows, we don't really need our guests to make us. We make us.
Hell yeah, man. And, hey, real quick, with, you know, like this month on the 26th, let's see what day of the week that is. The 26th is a Saturday, so I know you do your other show, but maybe we can, even if it's just play some music or something, man, the 26th is the anniversary of when Slim passed. So,
yeah,
we can do a little tribute. Yeah, you know, like I said, you know, if we just, like, you know, make a little playlist or something, you know what I mean? We got to show Magnolia Slim his respect, you know what I mean? But, all right, y'all have a good night.
All right, we out.
Fun, and let's do it again soon.
Yeah.
Most definitely.